What is your name, sir? Hello?
I can't. Where's the body? Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me now?
No. Barely.
Hello? Can you hear me now, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, now what is your name, sir?
Edward Smith.
Let me get you to hold. Just stay on the phone. Don't hang up, please, sir. I need to see if I can get some people on the phone. Hold one moment, sir. It will probably be more than one moment, but we will get started here because we have several people to get on the phone.
Doctor, do you use the lapel mic or do you just leave it there? Do you just leave the mic there or do you put on the lapel mic?
I just leave it here.
Okay.
That's what I've been doing the last...
No, sir. I just want to make sure that wasn't the issue.
Oh, sir, that's not the issue. There's something on there, yeah. Yes, this is CT Wright. Someone was going to come down and connect. We need to connect three calls, and we don't have the capability. Someone was going to come down and help us. I don't know whether it's going to be Ms. Kirschborn or someone else. Okay, thank you. We need them as soon as possible. Thank you so much. And I will try to get the first one, and then they can start doing the other one. Yes, may I speak to Ms. McMahon? McMahon?
Yes.
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. It's our understanding that you wish to participate in the hearing, a parole hearing for Mr. Edward Smith today. Am I correct, ma'am?
Yes, sir. Okay. I would like to do that.
Okay, let me get you to hold on. Let me get you to hold on for a while. We got to try to connect a couple of others. And once we get those in, then we'll be ready, and at the appropriate time, then we will call upon you. Thank you so very much.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. I have one on, so now I have two more.
Okay. Yes. So you want to get this one next. Okay. So...
gosh, I have like about five to go.
You have five? I don't have that many.
How many
do you have?
Oh, he broke my mic. I have all of these.
It should say conference. Disconnect from you. We're going to start over. So I'm going to call you back in just a few moments, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Is this is this Mary Gray?
No, that's Mr. McMahon.
This is Angela McMahon.
Oh, that one there. Okay. All right. We'll call you right back. Thank you, ma'am. Just hang on.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Normally when I hit more, it shows conference. So let me figure out what's going on here. Okay, let me try this one first.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, is this Ms. Gray?
Yes.
Ms. Gray, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we are making connections for you as well as some other folks to participate in the hearing for Mr. Edward Smith. Can you hang on the line? We're going to put you on hold and then connect some other folks, okay?
All right, thank you.
If you don't hear from us, say in about 2 minutes, I'm going to ask you to disconnect. We may have had some trouble, but meanwhile, stay on the line, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, hold.
Is that giving you confidence?
Is this Mr. Moss?
Yes, it is.
All right, Mr. Moss, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We understand you want to participate in Mr. Edward Smith's hearing.
I would.
All right, we're going to put you on hold for a moment while we connect some other folks. Would you please hang on the line then?
Yes.
And we'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Let me just pull this in and make sure I get it. All right, I just want to confirm that I have Ms. Gray on the line.
Yes.
And I have Mr. Moss.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to connect another individual, so please stay on the line again.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Ms. McMinn? Ms. McMinn?
Hello? Hello?
Ms. McMinn, can you hear me?
Hello?
Something's not. Ms. McMinn? Mr. Moss? Mr. Moss, are you there? Mr. Moss, are you there?
Yeah.
Is Ms. Gray there?
Yes.
And is Ms. McMinn there? Let's try it again. Okay, folks, hang on the line, please. There's no reason why it's not working.
Hello.
Ms. McMinn, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Okay. All right, we're going to connect everyone in, so just stay on the line, please, okay?
Okay.
All right, I should have everyone on the line. If you would please acknowledge Mr. Moss.
Yes.
Ms. McMinn.
Yes.
And Ms. Gray.
Yes.
All right, thank you. There, one more? Okay, I'm going to ask everybody to hang on the line because we have another one to add in. And let's hope I don't loop this one up. All right, hang on.
Okay.
There we go. Good morning. Is this Ms. Fleener?
Yes, it is.
Ms. Fleener, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We understand you would like to participate in a hearing for Mr. Edward Smith. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right. We're just going to ask you to stay on the line while we reconnect everyone else. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I think I have all. Mr. Moss.
Yes.
Ms. McMinn.
Yes.
Ms. Gray.
Yes.
And Ms. Fleener.
Yes.
Great. All right, Chairman, it's all yours.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, those on the phone, if you could just hang on at the appropriate time, we will be calling upon you once we go through this hearing. So just hang on, and we ask that you hang on with patience this morning. At this time, Mr. Smith, would you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Edward Neal Smith, 59706.
Thank you so much, Mr. Smith. You have been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412B, 411 detainer. Let me explain what our information is, and if yours is different, please tell me that it is different. What we show is that you are currently serving two concurrent sentences for murder in the first degree, and that if you are paroled to your next consecutive sentence by this board today, then you will be paroled to your detainer, and your detainer would be in the state of Idaho. Is that information your understanding, sir?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, we just want to make sure we all work together, and you had another consecutive sentence, which was escape in the first degree, and that was for 8 years, and you completed that one back December 31st in 1991. Am I still correct, sir?
You are.
Okay, so we're on the same page. Okay, as it relates to the murder in the first degree, what we show, and I believe we have the same dates, and that would be that the sentence began back on February the 5th, 1991. You became parole eligible on October the 2nd, 2016. And is that also correct, sir?
That is correct.
As you can see, sir, we have four board members participating in your hearing this morning. I would like to introduce you to the four board members who are participating in the hearing. As you can see us, to my far right, which would be to your left, is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rinhouse. To her, to my immediate right, that is the Honorable Mr. Louis Kawanis. To my extreme left, that is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your panel chair, and I'm also chair of the board. Sir, inasmuch as you've been certified for this hearing today by the Department of Corrections, we want to get to know you better and give you an opportunity to talk to the board, and then we will talk to others who are on the phone and who are present in the room at this particular time. According to information that I have, you were the last time you appeared before this board would have been, I believe, about a year, a little more than a year ago, and that would have been back in September the 7th in 2016, and that was for a 412B or 411, also a detainer, and that one you were denied at that time. It also shows that in quote from Ames now, back February the 5th in 1991, you were granted a 412B at that time. According to further information that I've gleaned from information provided to the board, that you had a positive or refusal, that's a UA when I say that, and that was the last one that I showed would have been April the 8th, 2014, and that was a major. Also in 2014, that would have been February the 20th, disrupted staff, and that would have been a minor. Prior to then, your last one would have been in 1999. Therefore, between 1999 and 1914, we do not show any disciplines that has taken place during that period, sir. We also have, sir, a copy of your progress report, which all board members have had an opportunity to review. And I take note that based on what I reviewed so far, you have not had any programming recently. Is that correct? Have you had any programs the last 4 or 5 years, sir?
I took a number of courses over the years. I have jobs. I've got my high school diploma, GED. You have a record of that?
Yes, sir, we have a record of that.
Okay,
so that would have been back in 09 of what we show. Yes, sir.
I took K2H. That was in June 2001.
Yes, sir.
I also took in Cultural Diversity. That was in August the 1st, 2008. Took Continent Reconstruction. That was in June 2008. Took Substance Abuse Awareness, that was in 2004. I took Alcohol Education, that was in 2003. Then I took a Building Maintenance course and got certified by Central Arizona College, that was in 89. And pretty much,
so we
just maintained what,
We have all of those, but my question is, have you had any programming recently? Have you had any recent programming? Let's say the last 2 or 3 years. Have you had any programming, sir?
No, I haven't.
Okay, sir. As I've indicated, that one of the things that we would like to get familiar with you so that the board can become better acquainted with you and why you are incarcerated at this time. And so we're going to want to talk to you and for you to explain to the board where we are, why you are here, and progress that you've made during the years. I would also just point out, just for the record, based on information that you submitted to the board, that, and of course if what the board does today, you would not be released. So I just want to let you would be paroled to your detainer if this board saw fit to make that decision today. But you also indicated, just for the record, that when you are released, that you plan to live with your daughter and to make up lost time with your family. Is that information still correct, sir?
Yeah, that is correct.
Although you cannot be released at this time, where does your daughter reside at, sir? What state is she still in? Arizona or somewhere?
In Texas.
In Texas. Okay, sir.
And Fort Worth.
Okay, sir.
They just wanted me to put down something, so I took that down, and I realized that if I get released from custody of Arizona, that I would be going to Idaho to start my sentence there.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir, based on information that we've gleaned, and that I've gleaned, and all board members had an opportunity to review it, that your sentence actually began back on May 2nd, 1980s, I mean, that the offense itself took place back May 2nd, 1986, and at that time, you were charged at that time with the crimes, and we've already stated them, a couple of murders as well as escape, and you the escape has expired, and you're currently serving the ones for the two murders at this time because they are running concurrent according to information that's been presented to the board. I do take note that in 1986 you were traveling from California to Yuma, Arizona. And on the bus, something took place. That was the disturbance on the bus. The bus driver had calls made. And upon your arrival in Yuma, you were confronted, you and your brother, you and your twin brother, the two of you were confronted by the police department down in Yuma. And a fight scuffle took place. And at that time, two murders were committed. One was the officer, the law enforcement officer. The other one was your twin brother. And as because your twin brother, because you were part of that, you were charged with both murders. And is that your recollection of what happened, sir?
Yes, sir, yes.
And at the time that the incident took place, your twin brother was on the phone making a phone call, and you were standing by. And when the officer approached you, apparently a fight ensued between you and the officer. It is not clear whether you shot the officer or whether your brother shot the officer. So based on your recollection, and we know that's been a long time since 86, but who actually fired you? You're going to be charged, you were charged for murder at any rate, but who actually fired the shot? Was that you or your brother, sir?
Both of us.
Oh, both of you. So both of you had a gun, or how did both of you have a gun, sir, for both of you to fire, to shoot, sir? Both of you had the pistols or firearms at that time, sir?
Okay. I understand why I'm here. Okay, let me just clarify this. I came here today to do two things. One was to tell the victims in this crime, namely the officer's two kids, that I apologize and that I'm truly sorry because I got kids myself.
Now you have to, sir, let me just correct you there. You have to tell the board that you cannot talk directly to the victims. You have to tell the board. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you that you can relay it to them. And, you know, it's been a long time. I don't feel that it's fair to sit and go over this case, which has been tried in a court of law, for the victims in this to hear all this stuff that happened years ago brought up, you know? And it's not fair to me to go through all this again. I'm simply here to see if you will grant me parole to Idaho. It makes no difference to me whether you do or you don't. I'm going to be stuck in prison for the rest of my life, okay? So I'm going to make it simple for you. I'm not going to sit here and rehash what happened in my case. All that was done in a court of law. I got transcripts. If you want to read over them, you can. And that's basically what I got to say. I expected to get denied from parole. And, you know, I'm going to serve another sentence. I got natural life in Idaho. So like I said, I'm doing time one place or another. So it's up to y'all.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir, for your statement. You have the right to not comment on anything that you don't wish to comment on, but the reason that I'm asking the questions is because, as you probably remember, you may not remember, that I'm the only board member who's participating on the panel today who had the opportunity to speak with you in the past. The other three board members who are present today are relatively new board members. This is their first time having an opportunity to talk with you, but but if you do not wish to make any comments about the incident offense itself, then we will respect that. So let me just ask one other question. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the board other than what you just shared with the board at this time, sir?
Well, apparently I'm not the same person I was all the years ago. You know, back then I made a lot of mistakes in my life. And if I could turn back the pages and redo it all, I would, you know. But, you know, mostly what I'm really sorry for is the lives that I've set, you know, that I've caused a lot of pain, not only to the victims in this case, but to my own family as well. You know, I've had a lot of time to think about everything. I'm not the same person I was back then. All that, mostly my problems was brought on by alcohol. And I ain't drank in over 30 years, so that's not a problem with me anymore. And that's about it, really.
Okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to see if board members might have any questions for you. Whether you want to answer them or not, I'm going to give them an opportunity to ask any questions at this time. Board members, any questions for Mr. Smith at this time? We don't have any questions coming from board members at this time, sir. But you will have an opportunity to make a final statement at the end of this hearing, sir. So at this time, I am going to ask the question because I know the ones who are in the room, I know that they are representing the victim, the other victims, but do I have anyone on the phone who is a supporter of Mr. Edward Smith? Anyone supporting him? I just want to give them an opportunity to speak if there's anyone supporting Mr. Edward Smith on the phone. Anyone on the phone? I like to do it three times. This is my third time. Anyone on the phone wishes to support Mr. Smith? Hearing none. Is there anyone in this room wish to support Mr. Smith? Is anyone in the room wish to support Mr. Smith? Anyone in the room wish to support Mr. Smith? Apparently not. Therefore, we will move on to the victims. At this time, we do note that we have two victims in the room. And I don't know which of you wish to speak first, or you want someone on the phone to speak first. I always just leave it up to those that you make that determination rather than my making the determination who might want to speak first. And that's your right to speak if you would like to speak. And the board is open now for any information. Please come forward, sir. And for the record, sir, would you state your name, sir?
Good morning. My name is Stephen Sugo.
Thank you. Thank you so very much, and welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. And what would you like to share with the board this morning, sir?
I've got a couple of pair of statements. One is my own, and one is an email sent to me by Jason Moss, Officer Moss's son. I'll go ahead and read mine first. Again, I'm Steve Sue. I'm the captain of the Yuma Police Department. I'm here representing my agency. Thanks for allowing me to speak. I've been an officer for 28 years. I was hired 3 years after Officer Moss was killed. While I didn't know him personally, I worked with many officers who had known him. A person's first job, first child, and even a child's first steps, these are important milestones. Unfortunately, for the Yuma Police Department, we experienced a milestone with Officer Moss's death. He was the first officer killed in the line of duty for the Yuma Police Department. This kind of first for our agency, any agency, is something the agency and community should not have to endure. While the shock and pain was significant, it is nothing compared to what his family has suffered. I've had the opportunity to have a career and see my children grow. These blessings are something Officer Moss had violently taken from him by Edward and Donald Smith. Officer Moss's death was no accident. He did not die as a result of an illness or cancer or something like that. Officer Moss was murdered serving his community by two individuals who, based on the sordid crimes they had committed prior to Officer Moss's murder, held absolutely no regard for anyone but themselves. I did some research on this case prior to coming here. Officer Moss was a decorated officer with the Yuma Police Department. He was well thought of. Even though he had only been an officer for 6 years, he was considered somebody that newer officers go to for advice, for input. I actually knew or worked with officers at the beginning of my career who had worked with him. They supported this assessment of him, that he was just a good guy, professional officer, and somebody that they regarded highly. Ostermoss had also served as a United States Marine. Obviously, he had served his heart based on his life's choice for career. Ostermoss left behind a 10-year-old son, an 8-year-old daughter, and an unborn daughter at the time of his death. Edward Smith, however, was the exact opposite. His history is one of criminal violence that included armed robberies, auto theft, burglary, and murder. Any loved ones he had had also suffered as a result of his life choices and selfish behaviors, since his choices also removed him from their lives. In law enforcement, and when speaking about punishment for crimes such as Edward Smith has committed, we often speak about justice. I'll mention something a bit more simplistic: doing what is right. Edward Smith was appropriately convicted and sentenced to 2 consecutive life sentences for his actions in the murder of Officer Moss and the subsequent death of his brother Donald Smith. It was the right thing to do to convict him. It was the right thing to do to sentence him to life in prison, and since his actions showed the public was safer with him separated from them, it would be a travesty to justice and to Officer Moss's family that they received at the time the justice they received when Officer Smith was sentenced to life in prison if he granted his parole. And it just wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be the right thing to do. I'm asking you to do what's right for the general public and most of all for the family of Officer Moss. And now, if I could, I'd like to read the email from Jason Moss.
Thank you, sir.
To whom it may concern. My name is Jason Moss, son of Officer Gary Moss, killed in the line of duty at the age of 29 by the Smith brothers. Not a day has gone by since that night over 30 years ago that I haven't thought about my father. I think of all the things he has missed over the years, his kids growing up, being a grandfather, graduations, and all the little things that life and family brings. When I think of it, he has missed everything. It still bothers me to this day that I can't see him or hear his voice, visit with him about everything and anything that's going on. Freedoms and liberties that Edward Smith in some small way can still do, which to me is enough. The thought that this man is even considered for parole is sickening. I will never forgive, never forget, and believe without a shadow of doubt that Edward Smith should always be denied parole for his entire life sentence. Jason Moss, head coach, Edmonton Eskimos Football Club.
Thank you so much. Board members, any questions? Thank you so very much, sir, and thanks for your service, officer.
Thanks
for taking time to be with us today. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room wishes to make a statement? Please come forward, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir, and would you state your name for the record, sir?
My name is Roy Moss, and the brother of the victim.
Yes, sir, and welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning, sir.
I really don't have a lot to say, but after listening to Mr. Smith, he still sounds very callous to me, and that is the first time he said he's sorry in 30 years. I've heard no remorse from him before that, even during the trial and the subsequent investigation stuff down in the unit, which I was present for. It has a profound effect on a family. I do feel sorry for his family. They lost a son. It was their fault. They had choices and they chose. So I don't think he deserves parole. He sure doesn't deserve to be out in the community at all. I know that's not going to happen, but just my feeling on it is just that he has not learned anything in prison. His attitude is such as when he responded to your talk in the beginning. He just went off and said something without regard to what's going on here. And because of that, you know, I think parole should be denied. I really wouldn't feel bad about him going to Idaho for the rest of his life. I don't feel bad about him sitting down in you either. So that's it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, sir. Any questions, board members? I have no questions. Thank you so very much, sir. Anyone else who's present in the room would like to make a statement? Anyone else in the room would like to make a statement? Anyone else present would like to make a statement? Anything from the Victim Services Office in the statements that you wish to share with us. There are none, so we will go to the phone now. And if I miss someone, please forgive me. I'll start with Ms. McMinn, M-C-M-I-N-N. Yes. Are you still on the phone, ma'am? So what would you, would you, first of all, state your full name for the record, ma'am?
Angela McMinn. I'm on
Officer
Down Memorial page. Have a little laryngitis.
Well, we want you to feel better, but we can hear you. You're coming across real strong over the telephone. So what do you want to tell the board this morning, ma'am?
Well, I'm with Officer Down Memorial Base, which is an online memorial to every officer killed in the line of duty. Over 22,000 going back to the 1700s. And we also have a program to fight the parole of each cop killer. I heard him, you asked him a question. Did you pull the trigger? Did he pull the trigger? He wouldn't answer you. And then he actually went on to say at one point that he didn't want to drag it up to the victims. Every time he comes up for parole, it's there with the victims anyway. I'm a survivor. My dad was killed in the line of duty. He took the life of a law enforcement officer and doesn't seem to have any remorse. As I was waiting, I went on our memorial, and one of the first memorials was from a lady that was on that bus and pregnant. She said she felt like he exchanged his life for her and her son. An officer touches so many people's lives. And this guy's had two murders. I don't know. Is the other murder near where he lives? Because it would be a travesty to let him go any closer to his family. Because Officer Moss and his family have nothing. And I don't see any reason that he should be any closer to his family. I don't see any reason that his desires about leaving Arizona should even be considered. He took a life, and that was the life of the officer. I want to say I'm sorry to the victim's family and just state again, law enforcement as a whole feels that he should be denied parole.
Thank you so very much. Let me see if board members might have questions for you, ma'am. I don't see any questions from board members, but thank you, and please feel free to stay on the phone because the board will be going into discussion following the rest of the testimony. Is Mr. Jane Moss still on the phone?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir, and would you state your name for the record, sir?
My name is James Stephen Moss.
Good morning, and welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and what do you want to tell the board this morning, sir?
Well, I think it's really important to understand from my perspective, and I think it's fair I speak somewhat for our family. I mean, Smith has been sentenced to two life sentences. Okay? So was my family and everybody that knew Gary. I think it is appropriate that Mr. Smith stays where he is in jail. A life sentence is for life. I mean, he didn't want to talk about what happened this morning because why would anybody in their own right mind speak about the fact that they ambushed and shot a police officer 13 times? I mean, that's a simple truth of the matter. It wasn't, there was no fight that ensued. I mean, they ambushed my brother. I mean, that is part of the evidence that I'm sure was in brought about in court. I mean, Gary was only able to return fire after he was down and had already received a mortal wound. I mean, hell, I remember testimony or comments from people who were in the courtroom and been around Smith and said, hell, they were, he and his brother were looking to kill a cop because they both wanted to watch a cop die on the book. Those words have been burning in my brain for over 31 years. And the pain will not get any less. I've had to be present with his kids and listen to their pain. I mean, how do you talk to a kid who is now, kids who are now in their 30s, pushing 40, and they can't hear what their dad sounds like anymore because it was taken away. I mean, Gary was an amazing person. He was a musician. He was involved in the community. I mean, he's got three amazing kids. One that never got to see him ever and wonders to this day, gosh, what was my dad like? Because she had that rod stolen viciously from her. And to think that, and there is any possibility of parole for Smith? Why? There's no parole for these kids, for me, for my sister, my brother who spoke earlier. There's no parole for us. We will live through this pain every day of our life. To me, Smith should stay where he is. He was given two life sentences for what he did in Arizona. He should stay in Arizona and serve two life sentences. And to me, that works out. What's the average lifespan of a human? About 90 years? Now, if you take out the fact that those two people that died were in their 20s, well, you'd still have to serve the better part of 120 years. That's how I calculated. I mean, Smith shouldn't even be considered for anything until after everyone that has been mortally wounded, dare I say, by his callousness for his wife, has passed on. I mean, I don't know how to tell it. The board, what kind of pain it is to have somebody murdered, not killed, murdered, have their life taken with malice, with intent. I mean, Smith did what he did because he and his brother chose deliberately to ambush a police officer and watch him die. And we don't need society. The decency of humanity does not need a person who makes that kind of choice to be living or ever given any chance to live back amongst that society. The danger is too great. He needs to stay where he is, serve his time, and understand that some things in life are not forgivable. And that's a profound statement coming from an Army chaplain. Okay. Because it's, you gotta understand how much is at stake here. You can't take a life like that, destroy a life like that. Cause that much pain to so many people. Rob society of an amazing person. And expect to ever be allowed to go anywhere. Okay? And just the idea of a life sentence for such a heinous crime to be set aside or concluded, to me there should be no conclusion to a life sentence, especially when you kill a police officer and you do it with intent. It was done in the first degree. I mean, I don't get the option of setting aside or concluding my pain. Neither does my sister, my brother, or Gary's three kids, or Vicky, his ex-wife, or anyone else involved. We don't get to set aside our pain. Therefore, it would be beyond a travesty to see this person allowed anything that even hints at allowing, moving him any closer to free air, because he does not deserve to breathe free air. I hope that point comes across painfully clear for the board, that when you're dealing with someone who did what he did, that he just, you don't forget. You remember what has been stolen, not just from family, but from all of us. Everybody in that room, when you knew it's one good person in life. It affects everyone. Because who's to say where Gary would be right now? And what effect his life had it continued, how much better all of our lives could have been. I mean, think about where we have been if some of the other more notable people in history who had been viciously murdered could have stuck around a few more years, how much better life could have been for all of us. I see no difference. And I think you need to, as members of the board, take that into consideration and let Mr. Smith stay where he's at. He can stay in Arizona until the day of his death. And then, once he is dead, his sentence will have been served. And I think that is the only appropriate thing and the only fair thing to do when you take into consideration all of the lives that are carrying such a heavy burden. Because I tell you, it's been over 31 years. Gary's been gone longer than he was alive. And I can only speak for myself for sure. But I tell you, my pain is no less. It is just as painful today as the day I received that phone call from my brother, telling me that my other brother was gone. I think that's about all I have to say, and I hope that is sufficient to help burn in your minds at least a good portion of what it's like to lose somebody as loving and as profound as Gary was. Thank you
so much, sir. Board members, any questions for Mr. Morris? We don't have any questions for you at this time, sir, but please feel free to stay on the phone. until the conclusion of this hearing. Ms. Mary Moss Gray, are you still on the phone? Is you still on the phone, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Ms. Gray, Mary Moss Gray, would you state your name for the record, ma'am?
Mary Moss Gray.
And what?
I'm Gary Moss's sister.
Thank you so very much, and welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. And what would you want to tell the board today, ma'am?
Well, I was the oldest of and had three brothers. Gary was the middle brother. And after listening to so much that my other brothers have said, I wanted you to know that Gary used to be a Golden Globe champ. He boxed, and but he used to get so sick to his stomach and throw up before a match because he didn't want to hurt anybody, and he thought he would by boxing, although he won every match. So he ended up having to leave that. He had a band. He loved Eric Clapton, and he wrote music, and he wrote poetry. He was my babysitter for my children. And he was my best friend. Him and I were very close, and we did a lot together. We spent a lot of time together. And he was a good son, and he was a good brother, and he was a good uncle, and he was a good father. And when he was 18, he joined the Marines and left. And so that's when he left home, was to be a Marine. When he got out of the Marine Corps, he was in Yuma Station, and he went on to police school, and he became a policeman. And that because he wanted to be following my father's footsteps. My father was a policeman, and that's what he wanted. So when Gary was killed, my father had to deal with the guilt. He was a changed man. He was guilt. He felt the guilt for the couple of years he lived until he died. And it was sad to see because there was no changing how he felt. That's how he felt. And to hear Mr. Smith talk about, he doesn't quite remember the incident that Gary got called up. He was getting off duty, and he took a disorderly conduct call and went to the bus station. But when you walk around and shoot somebody 13, 14 times when they're down in front of a busload of people, it's pretty sad. And obviously, you were out to kill a cop, or they would have killed other people in the place. And that was 2 weeks after Gary turned 29. And he was on his way home from work. And every time I hear a TV commercial or anything on TV that always, you know, make sure you say you love your husband or your father when they leave to go off to work, anybody that's a policeman, those words are so true. It really hurts to hear some of that. But I don't understand how Smith, except for the fact that they were so high on drugs, from my understanding, that probably what he can't remember. But he's charged with two first degree murders, but he also has a conviction of first degree in Idaho. So that happened the day before he killed my brother. I really think that he does not deserve to ever be paroled. He should spend the rest of his life in prison. He should never have his sentences changed. And that he just doesn't deserve it.
I don't deserve to not have a brother. And I don't even know if he feels that pain by losing his brother, but I sure feel the pain from losing my brother. I think of Gary daily. This is a problem. This has brought everything back. I cannot tell you how hard it was to relive everything that happened when Gary was killed in these last couple days, thinking, waiting for this day to come. So I request that he did not be denied any parole, any change in sentencing, and that he never see the outside of the prison. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Gray. Is Ms. Vicki Fritter, are you still on the phone, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Okay, would you state your name for the record, please, ma'am?
Vicki Lynn Fritter.
And what do you welcome to the board, and what would you like to tell the board this morning, ma'am?
I am the mother of Jason Moss and Stephanie Moss Johnson. And I just wanted to say that, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing our family's voice to be heard on behalf of Gary. Edward Smith took from my children their father. He took my children's innocence. He didn't get to see their high school graduation, college graduation, celebrated with their dad. My daughter didn't have her dad walk her down the aisle on her wedding day. The birth of his grandchildren. My grandchildren have an amazing grandpa because Gary would have been an amazing grandpa. No child should wake up in the morning to a room full of police officers to tell them that their dad will never come home again. And for what? Donald and Edward Smith were career criminals on a senseless, poor state crime spree. They robbed and they killed people along the way. They took a great man, and this is coming from his ex-wife. He was a great man. Gary and I were still friends until the day he died. He took the life of from his grandchildren, his mom, his dad, his brothers and sisters, from the community. Gary was a police officer that loved his job, and he loved to protect the people of Yuma, Arizona. Edward Smith never expressed remorse, as Jimmy alluded to. They were actually happy to be killing a police officer. He was given 2 life sentences, and 31 years, 7 months, is not 2 life sentences. He's 58 years old. He still has a lot of life to fulfill that sentence. So we as a family say no. 31 years and 7 months. He needs to finish his life, 2 life sentences there in Arizona. And that's how his family feels. And to hear him talk about getting out and time spent with his daughter, no, I'm sorry. My daughter and my son would love to spend time with their dad. As Jimmy said, my daughter and my son don't remember what his voice even sounds like anymore. They were 8 and 10 years old. No child should have to go through that. So please, keep him in Arizona, in prison, where he belongs. I know the family in Idaho probably wants him to serve their time for their son, who was so senselessly murdered. Somebody that stopped to help them, and he was killed. So please, don't let this man see the light of day. Keep him in Arizona, where he belongs, in prison. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Board members, any questions? No questions from board members at this time. Is there anyone else on the phone that I've missed who would like to speak? Anyone else on the telephone that I've missed? Anyone else on the telephone that I've missed? No one else is on the phone?
Bruce?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Mary Grave Moss.
Please, yes, ma'am.
Could I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
What actually would happen if he was paroled? Would he be going to Idaho for his life without parole sentence?
Yes, ma'am. He would be going to Idaho. I don't have how long he would be, what that sentence is in Idaho, but he would be transported immediately to Idaho if he were ever paroled from the state of Arizona. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak at this time? Any other victims? Hearing none at this time. We will continue with the hearing. And as always, Mr. Edward Smith, this is your hearing. I want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. Sir, we want to give you an opportunity to speak at this time. Mr. Smith?
Well, I really don't got nothing to say. I'll let y'all decide what you want to do.
Okay, well. Please go ahead.
It's pretty clear. I'm either going to go to Idaho or stay in prison in Arizona. Like I said, I'm doing time one place or another. That's all I got to say.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. At this time, the board will go into discussion. As most of us may already know, that in the state of Arizona, we operate under the open meeting law, which means that prior to this particular moment, the four board members who are present today on this panel would not have had the opportunity to discuss this case. This will be our first time discussing this case, and we do everything in public. And following the discussion by the board members, the board will make its determination, and the determination that the board will be asked to make today is whether to parole Mr. Edward N. Smith to his next consecutive sentence, which would be a detainer to the state of Idaho, or whether for him to remain in the state or Arizona. That will be the choice that this board will be making at this time. The board will now go into discussion. We're going to ask everybody to remain quiet. We know that this may be emotional, so everyone will remain quiet, and following this discussion, the board will vote at that time, and its determination will be announced at that time. Board members, we are now in discussion. Is there a board member who wishes to lead off the discussion at this time? Not seeing anyone. Oh, I'm sorry. The Honorable Mr. Kawanis, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. As we listen to the hearing, I did take some notes, so I'm going to go ahead and I'll be reading, and that is that I believe as one voting board member that due to the very serious nature of the incident offenses, not to mention the out-of-state violent crimes, the murder of a police officer, the ensuing deadly force incident that resulted in the death of another human being and flight from law enforcement, the passing of Mr. Smith to his detainer in Idaho would not further the interest of justice, especially considering that the taking of a life of a law enforcement officer displays the ultimate disregard for public safety and the rule of law. And that's where I'd like to begin the discussion. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so very much. Another board member wishes to speak at this time? Okay, I don't hear any others. Let me just make just a couple of statements. I should have made them earlier. That the board does wish to acknowledge the receipt of scores of letters opposing the release of Mr. Smith. I would also point out the fact that we do have a letter from the Yuma County Attorney's Office also objecting to expressing its opposition to the paroling of Mr. Smith, and the letter from the Yuma County Attorney's Office is dated November 16, 2017. As has already been stated by my distinguished colleague, Mr. Kiwanis, this is one of those situations where the board has to make its determination. And I think that when we look at what is in the best interest of the state of Arizona, the citizens of the state of Arizona, and what is the best interest, I think that it is, I will agree with Mr. Kiwanis. I think that it would be appropriate for this board not to parole Mr. Smith to the state of Idaho at this time. And we will state some reasons in just a few moments, but that's my feeling as well. Therefore, with no further discussion by board members, I'm going to offer a motion, and that motion is to deny Mr. Smith, Mr. Edward N. Smith, DOC number 059706, his parole to his next consecutive sentence, which would be a detainer to the state of Idaho, or absolute discharge, and that is my motion to deny 412B, that is void detainer, or 411, and that is my motion at this time.
Second.
And any objection? Well, let's get the vote first. Seconded by Mr. Kiwanis. Motion made by myself, seconded by Mr. Kiwanis. Ms. Rittenhouse?
Agreed.
Mr. Neal?
Agreed.
Any objection to a one-year settlement? Any objection to a one-year settlement?
No objection
to a one-year settlement. That means that he will be coming before this board a year from there. Let the record show that he did hang up on the board, which is disrespectful to the board and to the victims that this has happened, but we must continue with this hearing. And the reasons for the denial are the serious and violent offense, loss of human lives in this case, which is poor, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, multi-victims. We also point out the fact that there is no family community support present for Mr. Smith. We would also point out that he had a history of substance abuse, as much as that was already stated, that he was his prior criminal history, which had taken place, is information that the board has, that had taken place in the state of Texas, the state of Idaho, as well as the state of Washington. And of course, the lack of programming recently. Is there anything else that any board member wishes to include for reasons for denial? And of course, we would also point out the fact that one of the victims was a serving police officer at that, the law enforcement officer at that time. Anything else? Yes.
Sir, I apologize. Did you say poor demeanor during hearing?
Poor demeanor during hearing? Okay, thank you so very much. For the meaning of doing hearing has also been included. Anything else that needs to be included? Hearing nothing else, then the board has voted to deny 412-11, with this time with a detainer, 412-B, which is a detainer, or 411, and that is, and the board has stated the reason. He will be certified in around 12 months from there to appear before this board again. And in the state of Arizona, we only have the opportunity to extend it, a set off is for 12 months. We do not go beyond that in the state of Arizona. This will end the hearing. Thanks so much for participation on the part of the victims. Thanks so very much to all of you on the phone. And thanks so much to Victim Services for your assistance today. The hearing is over.
Sir?
Thank you.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
You said that the board received a large number of letters making statements opposing the parole, will that, is that information of public record?
That will be a part of public record, yes, sir.
Okay, and would there be a way for, I wouldn't even know how to ask, but would there be a way for...
If you can contact Victim Services, they will tell you how to get it, and they will make sure that you receive a written copy of the information that the board has, as well as a recording of the hearing, if you so wish to get that. So please contact the Victim Services office here in Arizona.
All right.
Okay, thank you, and the hearing is over. Thanks so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.